Für alle ein Fest. Zum Aldi-Tiefpreis. Volvic Naturell. 1,5 Liter für nur 49 Cent. Zuzüglich Pfand. Oder Almare Räucherlachs XXL. 220 Gramm für nur 3,49 Euro. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Stu does America.
Watch the show completely free on YouTube. YouTube.com/Stu Does America. Be sure to subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. Also get your Stu Does America merch at StuDoesMerch.com. Use the code Stu10, get 10% off your entire order. Glenn Beck is here with a plethora of government secrets to unpack. It's going to be a lot of fun. We also might finally be seeing some sanity in the wide world of sports. We will take a look at the latest bill in the House. We're going to start by doing Biden's parting shots, volume two. We did this with Kamala's flip-flops because we want to just have a catalog of all of these things that were going on. And Biden is ending his administration, just getting as many shots as he can in things that will delay Trump's agenda, things that will reverse his agenda. He will block him from doing things that are important for the country. All of the highest priorities you can imagine. So I want to go through a bunch of these because there's a ton of them to go through today. Biden is going to lift Cuba's designation as a terror sponsor in exchange for release of prisoners. The Biden administration on Tuesday announced it will remove Cuba from the U.S. list of state sponsors of terrorism and ease economic restrictions as a part of a deal for the release of political prisoners. Since the beginning of the Biden-Harris administration, the United States policy toward Cuba has focused on empowering the Cuban people to freely determine their own future and advancing respect for human rights, said Corinne Jean-Pierre. I mean, I doubt she really said that, but that was what we're supposed to believe. The decision is likely to be reversed by the incoming Trump administration. Senator Marco Rubio, Trump's pick for Secretary of State, whose family fled Cuba in the 1950s, supports strong sanctions on Havana's communist regime. Interesting. I mean, the whole thing's very interesting. Why would Cuba give up these prisoners knowing that, in theory, this was going to change, you know, right around the corner? Why would they do that? I don't know exactly, but it's kind of shocking to everybody right now. Even Democrats are kind of pissed off about this. Biden's Cuba bombshell shocks Florida Democrats. The order will be undone almost as soon as Trump replaces him on Monday. So it'll have little practical effect, but Florida Democrats fear Biden's move gives Trump a chance to frame their party as beholden to socialists, which, of course, they are. In Florida, I added that one little part. In Florida, where Hispanics make up 19% of the voters, the issue of socialism turns off many people with roots to Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela, and Colombia, countries, and many of them escaped to avoid leftist violence. It turns them off when they hear it's a socialist party, they're like, we don't want to vote for you as much. Now, part of the reason this is happening, of course, is that Florida's a lost cause for them right now. They don't care about reversing this type of thing and embracing Fidel Castro in some weird way, or Raul, because they're going to lose Florida anyway. They were very protective over this for a very long time, no longer the case. So even the Democrats are pissed off about that particular parting shot. Another parting shot: Biden forgiving student loans to 150,000 borrowers, bringing the total to 5 million. Now, most of this stuff is or will be overturned in the courts, but they keep trying it, even though they know it is unconstitutional. President Joe Biden said on Monday his administration would cancel student loans for more than 150,000 borrowers, targeting those who attended schools that defrauded students, those with permanent disabilities, and public service workers. Now, you might look at that list and be like, well, all those people should have their loans forgiven. Those are good policies. Yeah, but that might be true. That should go through Congress. You can't just do that if you're president of the United States. Biden said the total number of Americans has been now over 5 million. So there you go. 5 million people. Now, of course, most of these people are going to wind up getting this debt likely reinstated. So they're going to wind up paying it anyway. They'll all just think they have extra money now so they can spend it in advance of needing to spend it later on the actual loan. So it'll screw them over years down the road as well. So thank you so much, Joe Biden. Another parting shot. New sanctions from the U.S. taking sweeping action against Russia's energy sector. With less than 2 weeks until the Biden administration leaves the White House, it has placed new sanctions, which is called the most significant to date, on Russia's oil and liquefied natural gas sector, the driver of the Eastern European country's economy. Officials said the sanctions could cost the Russian economy over billions of dollars per month. Over billions of dollars. So what is that? It's a weird way to phrase that. But what I'm kind of interested on in that one is, really? Like, listen to this. Oil producers rush to hedge as the U.S. sanctions on Russia send prices higher. Energy producers have rushed to lock in oil prices since the United States announced its harshest sanctions yet on Russian energy trade on Friday, which sent oil prices surging to multi-month highs. Market participants said hedging can help producers reduce risk and protect their production from sharp moves in the market by locking in a price. It can also give traders opportunities to profit from volatility. Sure. My question is, they're the harshest sanctions yet, which indicates there was a harsher place for us to go on the sanctions, which makes me wonder why we try that after we've sent hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine already. Like, shouldn't we have gone to the harshest possible place on our sanctions before we started letting them use our tanks and missiles and planes against the world's largest holder of nuclear weapons? Feels like that step should have come first. But here we are. Of course, this could, of course, make your gas prices higher as we reduce the supply around the world. Another parting shot from Joe Biden. Two prisoners legally object to Biden's death row commutations. The DOJ is arguing this one. Requests of two prisoners who have taken the unusual step of asking a federal judge to nullify their death row commutations granted by the president should be denied because the act of leniency doesn't violate the Constitution, the Justice Department argued Monday in a court filing. The inmates Shannon Agofsky and Len Davis are being held in federal prison in Terre Haute, Indiana, where the U.S. government puts inmates to death. A good thing for your town to be not necessarily on the tourism board paperwork. You're like, hey, this is where everyone comes to die if you're a federal prisoner. A week after Biden announced he was commuting the sentences of 37 of the 40 prisoners on federal death row to life without the possibility of parole, they filed their emergency motions seeking an injunction to block the charge, arguing that it could affect their appeals amid claims of innocence in their initial conviction. So basically what's happening here is they got convicted of murder. Biden is like, he's not letting them out of prison. He's just letting them out of the death penalty part of their sentence. So they'll stay in prison forever without possibility of parole. And they're like, well, we don't want that because we're innocent. So we don't want you to do that because it's sending a message that we're actually guilty of these crimes and we're getting a lesser punishment for our guilt. We say we're innocent. Now, are they innocent? I doubt it. It's possible. Possible. You know, this does happen. I've watched Netflix documentaries. I know it does occur, but unlikely. That being said, if they don't want the commutation, if they want to be executed by the state, if they remain to be guilty, well, I say we give it to them. Biden, another parting shot, awarding Pope Francis the Medal of Freedom, the highest civilian honor. I mean, I will say at this point, is it the highest? Seems like we give these out like, you know, candy these days. But anyway, U.S. President Joe Biden spoke with Pope Francis on Saturday, awarded him with a Presidential Medal of Freedom with distinction, the nation's highest civilian honor, the White House said. It wasn't the first time in 4 years in office the Biden had awarded the medal with distinction, it said. So it's a little bit more important. Now, it's interesting there because, you know, look, it's a very left-wing pope. I think if this was a person who was out there being like, you know what, abortion's wrong, and really highlighting that part of Catholicism, maybe a little bit less than let's be nice to everyone and never hold them accountable for anything that they do. Seems like that's kind of global warming is really, really bad. That's the part of Catholicism we've been hearing a lot from this pope. So he gets the award. I don't know if that would have happened with another pope, but who knows? Biden administration, another parting shot, announcing an AI rule to enhance national security and economic might. The Biden administration is rolling out the new rule that is aimed at responsible use of artificial intelligence technology. According to a press release about the rule, the action streamlines licensing hurdles and provides clarity to allied and partner nations about how they can benefit from AI. The action is designed to safeguard the most advanced AI technology and ensure that it stays out of the hands of our foreign adversaries, but also enabling the broad diffusion and sharing of the benefits with partner countries. Okay. Now, look, that one, you know, you want to secure AI. I mean, it is important that we control it and countries like China don't get ahead of us on AI. So, you know, some of this might be okay. The other thing is, I just don't want someone who is as close to taking their last breath as Joe Biden is dealing with new technologies. I just feel like that's bad. I don't know how this will work out. Surely, since it's Biden's idea, supposedly, it'll work out poorly because most of his ideas do. Another parting shot. Biden is extending protections for immigrants from Venezuela, El Salvador, and Ukraine. President Joe Biden on Friday extended temporary protected status for immigrants living in the U.S. for some countries, including Venezuela, El Salvador, and Ukraine. Biden's actions come 10 days before he leaves office and could benefit about a million migrants who will be shielded from deportation for up to 18 months. The striking thing about this to me was El Salvador. Like El Salvador, these protections came in like 1990 because of a civil war. They were renewed in 2001, I think it was, because of earthquakes. But El Salvador is like doing pretty well right now. They're like in the highest point they've been in a very long time under Bukele. They've got all this Bitcoin at 100,000. They've knocked out a lot of the crime problem in this country. Like, why would we, I don't know, why are we extending these now? I guess these people have been here for a while, so we're just going to extend it. But that's a little odd. Again, I think it's not our responsibility to take in everybody from terrible countries. Like Ukraine's a good example of this. Like they're looking at Ukraine and they're saying, well, they're at war, so we need to take these people in. And I understand that motivation. And sometimes it's the right motivation. But it's not necessarily our jobs to protect these people and keep them here forever. You know, like if we take in somebody who's in El Salvador in the middle of a civil war and then that civil war ends, and they no longer have a lot of the problems we were talking about at that time. I mean, is it time to say like, okay, now go through the normal process. Like if you can clear that normal process, great. But why are we making special exemptions at this point for giant groups of people like that? It doesn't really make all that much sense. And finally, this isn't exactly a Biden parting shot, but it has to do with Biden. The Philadelphia mayor is lobbying for a Biden presidential library. It is important to note, there are no human beings in the world that would ever visit a Biden library. None. No, it will literally be an empty building with a bunch of shredded documents. That's because that's all he basically has. Immediately and forevermore. It will cost us a bunch of money to protect a building that no one will ever visit. That is just the fact of the matter. No one cares about Joe Biden. Nobody. He is a sad old failure. Is what he is. Anyway, the mayor of Philly said there are many reasons that the city would be the appropriate spot for the repository of Biden's history. The fact that he would refer to President Joe Biden from Scranton with very strong Philadelphia roots as our third U.S. senator, it is appropriate. I would love for his library to be here in Philadelphia, the birthplace of democracy. First of all, Philadelphia's got a lot of really important buildings, a lot of really important historical documents, buildings, events that have happened there. Joe Biden would be lost in that, immediately. I will say, even if you were to put it in Scranton, people would be like, well, where was the office filmed? Wasn't filmed in Scranton. But still, that's what people would think about. I think the open of the office was filmed in Scranton. So people would rather see those buildings than the Joe Biden Museum. But if you're going to put it somewhere, you think you'd put it in Scranton. Why are you putting it in Philly? It makes no sense. No one cares about it. No one's going to visit it. And I will say, it's just bad luck. You put the Biden Library in Philly, the Eagles never win another Super Bowl. That is just, I think, right off. I don't want it just for that particular reason. By the way, did I mention the Eagles are still in the playoffs? That's going to be very interesting. I should also tell you, we have, you've been waiting for this moment for many years. Many, many years. You've been thinking to yourself, gosh, Joe Biden is terrible. Look at all the things he's doing. He's awful. Look, even just his parting shots are terrible. But his entire presidency has been horrible from beginning to end. I can't wait for this to end. Well, good news, boys and girls. It ends on Monday. It ends on Monday, January 20th in Washington, D.C. I will be there covering the events for Blaze TV and the Glenn Beck radio program. We're going to be up there doing, we're going to do a show up there of Studios America as well, bring on some great guests. We're going to be covering the events live. You can be part of that coverage. You can watch it with us on Blaze TV. Now, you can go to CNN and see, the same sort of overall footage. You're going to see Donald Trump's speech, and you'll see him up there, and you'll see him up there getting sworn in and all that stuff. That's all going to happen, and we all understand that's going to happen. You can watch it on CNN. You can watch it on MSNBC if you like. Or you become part of Blaze TV. It'd be part of a really important movement, I think, especially as we go into this new term. I don't know if there's anybody better positioned to cover this this incoming administration than Blaze TV is. We've got a lot of great people who have lots of close ties to the administration, who know all about the focus that they're going to have as we go into the next 4 years. And we're going to be there. overlooking the events and keeping you right in touch with everything going on in Washington, D.C. So make sure to join us. It is blazetv.com/stew or go to stewdoesamerica.com. stewdoesamerica.com. Go there. Check it out. If you use the code STEW20, I think is you'll save 20%. I don't remember the code, but there's some code there and you can save $20 off your subscription to Blaze TV. So do that now. StuDoesAmerica.com. The code is Stu.
Stu Does America.
Right. I'm talking to Glenn Beck right now. Glenn Beck, he's brand new special coming up at 9 p.m. Eastern tonight. It's California Fires and New Jersey Drones, Government Secrets Exposed. Be sure to stay tuned. Glenn, how's it going?
Just so you know, we were just talking in the break about cow teats.
We were.
Yeah.
And and we weren't going to talk about this, but I had read something online. I don't know how I even stumbled upon it, but it was somebody who worked at a farm and was talking about raw milk. And was saying, like, hey, like, the raw milk thing, like, I know a lot of people think it's great and everything, but, like, I'm there with all the other cow body parts that are right nearby, and you don't want to have raw milk. And I was like, that kind of
connected. Unless you've seen how raw milk, I mean, it's very clean. It is very clean.
It is. This is not the case this guy was making.
Well, I don't know if that guy is, you know, doing raw milk the right way. It's very clean. They back those cows up and you're half a floor down. So you're kind of right there and they wash, then they sterilize, then they dip the teats into something and put the thing right on. So it's very clean.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Because it did not sound like something I
mean, that was, you know, in the 1800s. That's not the way it was done,
right.
So it wasn't good for you.
A lot better now.
Yes.
So there you go. In case you were looking at raw milk, right. It's safer now, apparently.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
That wasn't. Now, that's not one of the government secrets you're going to expose tonight, I hope.
Not really.
Okay,
although I would like to expose why we just took red dye number 3 off.
That's a fascinating one, right?
It is.
Yeah, especially, honestly, the only thing that surprises me at all about it is the timing. Because RFK Jr. has been talking about getting rid of a bunch of basically everything on the market he wants to ban. But red dye number 3 has been, I would say, top of the list, top 2, that he's been talking about for a really long time. And the FDA, which is, right, correct me if I'm wrong, still under Biden's control, comes out today and bans red dye number 3 from all food and drink.
So what else are the red dye people involved in?
Watch the other hand.
Is it possible the red dye people are like, yeah, but we don't want them to know about green and yellow 20.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Because it was interesting, because I thought of it as, like, in a way, this removes a hurdle for RFK, right? Where it would have taken him time at some level. The FDA stuff is really weird. Like, looking into it, he really can kind of just do it on a whim. He can kind of ban whatever he wants on a whim. Now, obviously,
I don't like that.
I don't like that either, because a lot of it just has to do with the FDA just putting a letter or a statement out, where it's supposed to go through a multi-year scientific process. Like, is RFK Jr. going to want to do that? I mean, I think he believes he knows a lot about the science anyway. So I don't know how long this stuff would take or how aggressive he would be. I would think he's not going to do anything banning-wise that's going to piss Trump off, right? The one that keeps coming to mind is aspartame, and Trump loves his Diet Coke.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think, it just doesn't strike me as something he would do. Seed oils is another one, but that's such a broad category that even if he opposes them, banning all seed oils from food is, first of all, you know, I mean,
it's going to be huge, and it will be not good for farmers.
Right. It would be horrible for farmers. It just seems implausible politically and also just pragmatically. Now, will he just write a letter and, you know, let it happen? I don't know. We will see. What do you make of this, of the banning of red dye number 3?
I have absolutely no idea. I can't.
Why would they do it before he comes in?
Right. Unless the red dye people are into something else.
So you think maybe it's like.
I actually think this has been going on for a long time.
It has.
They just, you know, just kind of came to the conclusion, and just the timing is just coincidental.
I kind of feel like Biden wants credit for it.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, like, doesn't want to give it to.
Well, this is him stopping cancer.
Oh my gosh, he's done it.
Yeah, he's
finally
done
cured
it.
Cancer. Yeah. We can update the website.
Yeah.
The other thing that's kind of interesting is I think it says something positive for RFK's confirmation. Because if they're sort of adopting Trump adjacent viewpoints here.
Yeah, but there's a difference between red dye and vaccinations.
Yeah.
So
they're still going to oppose him on that stuff, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to embrace him fully. But can he get 5 to 10 Democratic Senate votes?
Oh, I think he can.
I think he can, too.
Yeah.
I think he also will probably lose some Republicans. I could be wrong on that. But I think like a Mitch McConnell is.
Mitch McConnell's going to stop Donald Trump's agenda any way he can.
Although he's going to vote for almost all of his appointees, I think. I think RFK, I mean, remember, Mitch McConnell's been around for a while, Glenn. I don't know if you know this.
Really?
Dude had polio. So anyone who I think.
Mitch McConnell did?
Yes, he actually had polio.
Wow, that puts you in a different century, maybe even two different centuries.
Yeah. But you could see him being, you know, really, maybe really holding that line on anyone who's threatening. Now, RFK Jr. says he's not going to pull the polio vaccine or go after it, but still.
Where does he stand on iron lungs?
Want one, need one. Sounds
want one,
like a
need
lot of fun.
One, we've got him.
Boy in the bubble. How does he feel on that? We don't know.
We don't know.
Okay, so let me get to your actual show here.
Okay.
The California fires.
Yeah.
A fascinating thing. I think I was reading a statement from Donald Trump the other day where he said, this is one of the worst, the biggest disasters we've ever seen in American history. And he kind of says that about everything.
Yeah.
But completely right on this. Like, this is legitimately one of the worst things we've ever seen in our lifetimes.
Yeah, this is the Chicago fire, the San Francisco fire, probably combined.
Wow.
I mean, you know, those wiped out the cities. While this hasn't taken the actual city of Los Angeles down, it's taken a lot of the burbs and the and, you know, L.A. County. I've never seen anything like it. And what is it going to take to rebuild all of this? And, you know, I think the biggest thing is we have to know the truth on all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are we going to get it? I don't know. But I agree with members of Congress. They have never proven themselves to be responsible with money. They are the Ukraine of the United States when it comes to money. No idea what happened to that money. You know what I mean? And I think there should be accountability for every dollar spent. And there should be some strings attached to it. You know, because why would we help rebuild California if they're going to just keep the underbrush?
It's all going to burn down again.
Yeah, they're not going to build another reservoir. If you're not going to take care of the things you need to take care of, Gavin Newsom is the reason why we don't have nice things in California. You've got to change the behavior.
Do you, because I'm fascinated by this, because, I mean, you said that you have never seen anything like it, but you actually dug up some old pictures of Nagasaki.
Yeah.
And looked pretty similar.
Oh,
I know scale, maybe not as big as the nuclear bomb, but it really was entire areas flattened.
Oh, yeah. With just some trees, some chimneys that were left exactly the way we see California now.
Now, Gavin Newsom is saying you can't sell your house. You're rubble. You don't even have a house anymore. But he's saying basically he's trying to prevent what he says are people trying to take advantage of the situation, speculators that would come in and buy on the cheap some of these properties when people are in their dire needs. And I think a lot of people would be like, yeah, good job, Gavin. But like,
what if you want to sell your house? What if you want to sell your house? Gavin won't allow somebody to buy your house? If I'm even my age and I'm living there, do I want to waste, probably with all the red tape and everything else, 6 years
at least
of building, rebuilding? Can you imagine the red tape that thing is going to hold? So I got to wait 6 years? No.
Go down and look at some of those areas of New Orleans. They still look like they did in 2005.
Right. Not interested.
No.
Not interested. And you're not going to let me sell my house.
Now, I think technically the way it's worded is unsolicited offers you're not allowed to make. So you couldn't go to a homeowner and say, hey, we want to buy your house for $1 million. You interested? If they can obviously list it theoretically for a price that they want. But like, why is that Gavin Newsom's business again? Like, why wouldn't these people be able to make decisions on their own whether they want to receive those offers, whether they want to pick up the phone, whether they want to respond, whether they want to say, screw you, get out of my town, whatever it is. Why can't they make those decisions for themselves?
Because there's somebody in that neighborhood who's too stupid and needs to be protected against themselves.
That's really what he thinks.
No, it is. It is. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of support comes from that area of town. How many people are so stupid they need you to hold their hand? The guy who, I mean, you're holding the flamethrower almost, Gavin. I mean, you are the guy responsible and you know best. Boy, if California doesn't wake up from this, but this is why we need transparency on it. We need to know exactly who did what when. They didn't want to put fire trucks out to pre-position them. Why? Because they didn't want to pay overtime. That is so short-sighted. Who made that decision? Under what kind of pressure was that decision made? Was that because, no, I want to spend it on new one-legged lesbian dogs, you know, to be firemen, you know, Dalmatian, but I only want them to have gay spots or, I don't know, purple spots.
It's very possible there was a study. Yes.
But who made that decision? How far did that go? Who did not refill that reservoir for 2 years? And is it in the purview of the fire chief of that area to recognize, hey, our reservoir hasn't been filled for 2 years? How does the state not comprehend forest fires happen there all the time?
Well, it's a totally local issue, and Gavin Newsom just didn't want to get involved because of his strong belief it's central government is bad.
It's bad.
So that's
yeah, you're right.
Can we go to a more base level of this, Glenn? Have you speculated about this at all on your own? What are the odds this is a normal natural fire starting? What are the odds that this is like a, you know, electrical, you know, you have a situation where electricity comes off of some wire and starts to spark like that? Or, I mean, is there a possibility that, like, this is an intentional attack? I mean, it's weird to think of it as a terrorist attack, but, like, it would be a way they could do it.
I think the answer is yes to all of those. Yeah. I think it was probably a natural fire in some places. It was probably... Another part of it comes from the power lines going down. I think there's probably another part of it that is just homeless people setting fires. Another part of it of probably foreign people coming in and joining in.
Because we have caught a couple people, it seems.
Right. I think 15.
Is it that many?
Yeah. And almost all of them are foreign nationals. So what does that mean? Why did that happen? And is there incompetence? Yeah. So I think it's all of those things. I think this is the biggest cluster, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Than anything else I've seen. This is, and Gavin Newsom is walking around. I mean, how could you even, in Japan, the leader would have killed himself by this point.
Of shame.
Yeah. I mean, how could you be this incompetent?
So this leads to the biggest question maybe in the aftermath of this. There couldn't be a clearer lesson, a clearer message being sent by this environment and the way it's being responded to and the way and what led up to it. Does California learn?
No. No. Mm-mm. I don't see Republicans winning elections there by any real degree. No.
God, that's absolutely incredible. I mean, this is a state that Reagan came from.
Yeah, they're going to
recapture that at all.
They're going to be pissed that the government isn't doing more to help them now.
God, I think you're totally right. It's very depressing.
You notice that the Trump part of the country, the Carolinas, they're hit by a hurricane and they're given $700 and told, well, get up off your butt and fix it yourself. These guys immediately will take care of your every need because those guys expect it.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Glenn Beck has a new special coming up tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. Be sure to stay tuned. Tonight, it's California Fires and New Jersey Drones. Government Secrets Exposed. As always, the best way to watch is Blaze TV, blazetv.com. Or actually go to StuDoesAmerica.com is the easiest way.
Michael Schellenberger is on tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't want to miss him.
How different would this have been if he was actually governor? He ran for governor and did not win.
I know.
Would have been a lot better. Caruso as mayor, Schellenberger as governor would have made the situation a lot better. Yeah. StuDoesAmerica.com. The code is Stu, $20 off your subscription to Blaze TV. Well, Donald Trump has received a gift from Coca-Cola. And Coca-Cola was critical back in the day. Do we have the criticism here somewhere? I had it at one point. They were kind of pissy about January 6th back in the day, as many were. I didn't like it either. I don't know. I blame Donald Trump for it, but I did not like the events of that day all that much. In fact, didn't like them at all, frankly. But Donald Trump is now a few years later. Getting an award from Coca-Cola. Tonight, President Trump received the first ever presidential commemorative inaugural Diet Coke bottle from the chairman and CEO of Coca-Cola Company, James Quincy. Now, it's funny because they're, you know, like we've talked about the Kalshi markets before here on the program. These are these prediction markets. What's going to happen in the administration? What's going to happen in the election? What's going to happen in all these different things? Entertainment, sports, they have all a million markets. It's a lot of fun if you are interested in that at all. K-A-L-S-H-I is the way you spell it. Then there's it's interesting. They had a market there. What will RFK ban before January 1st, 2026? And they had three things on there, which was red number three, which is interesting because RFK didn't ban it, but it was banned today by the outgoing Biden administration. We could put that in parting shots, I suppose, as well. Whatever you feel about red number three, which is likely nothing. I mean, and no one cares about which food. There's going to be other food dyes that people will use. I don't think anybody cares about whether you're using red number three or not, although there, you know, some people believe there's really serious health effects on it. We've gone over some of that stuff before. No need to revisit it. But the bottom line is, it's interesting that before RFK has a chance to be confirmed, the Biden administration does this through the FDA. So that actually, it's kind of a fascinating thing because that one is now apparently a successful contract on these markets because it happened before January 1st, 2026. And the way the rules are read, are written, when you read them, you can see that you know, fulfills that contract. What's fascinating about that is just that the fact that RFK didn't even do it. It's like there's this weird thing where a lot of these industries are kind of taking these Trump-adjacent policies and kind of adopting them and giving Donald Trump a little bit of a hug to avoid, I think, the downfall. The reason I bring up the Kalshi contract is because another option there was aspartame. Which is, of course, the main ingredient, one of the main sweeteners that goes into Diet Coke. Now, it's just, I don't think it's a coincidence that Diet Coke is like, hey, commemorative bottle for you, Don, because RFK definitely wants to ban, I mean, let's be honest about it, everything. The guy wants there to be a solely, only like organic cow meat is the only thing you're allowed to eat. He wants everything banned. Nothing that's fun to eat does this guy want in existence. You know, aspartame would be a target of his if he were president of the United States. But Don loves his Diet Coke. So I don't know. I'm kind of skeptical on that one in particular. That one I think has only a 9% chance of being banned. So there you go. The other one is seed oils. That would be an interesting thing to ban entirely. Like, all oils that come from seeds. Also, what would that do to farmers, right? Farmers make tons and tons of money off of seed oils. Again, another one I can't see Donald Trump being like, go ahead, RFK, just go ahead and ban that and screw all these farmers. Like, I just don't see that as happening. But, you know, again, we will see. Michelle Obama has made a statement. She's not going to the Trump inauguration. This is interesting because Barack Obama will be there. The Bushes will be there. Now, look, Barack Obama, the Bushes, they don't like Donald Trump either. None of them do. But, you know, there is this sort of idea that, like, this is a, I don't know. It's part of the tradition. It's part of the peaceful transition of power. You kind of do that unless you're trying to make a statement. Now, Michelle Obama is the type of person that will absolutely put her own personal statement above, you know, the trappings of tradition here in our country. She doesn't like, she said outwardly, she wants to change our traditions, change our history. So she's in the middle of doing that. And you might say, well, wait a minute, Donald Trump didn't go to the handoff to Joe Biden, which is true. But again, what was he doing? He was making a big fat statement, right? He was saying, I don't believe I lost this election. This is wrong. I'm not going there. Not to mention after January 6th, there was worries about more riots and such. So that's why that one happened. Now, it's not just Michelle Obama who's making a statement. Kamala Harris is declining to invite J.D. Vance to the courtesy visit to vice presidential residence before inauguration. And this is an interesting one solely because, like, a lot of times you'll hear this case from the left in the mainstream media that Donald Trump is uniquely bad, right? Like, Donald Trump is different. He's different than Mitt Romney or George W. Bush or John McCain or any of the other Republicans that have come before him. He's uniquely evil. He's absolutely terrible. And that's why we do all these things like try to throw him in prison, because he's that bad. It's not like we're going to do this to all Republicans. No, no. It's just the fact that Donald Trump is uniquely that terrible. Well, as we see here, J.D. Vance is also uniquely that terrible. And you know what? Every other candidate that comes out and Ron DeSantis would have been uniquely that terrible had he had won the primary. It really doesn't matter. The bottom line is they're going to make any Republican that comes in front of them to be Satan. And you know that by now, I suppose, but it is very much true. The House is passing a transgender sports bill. The legislation will strip federal funding from schools that let transgender girls compete in female sports categories. So, you know, you're letting your some dude who's saying he's a chick transport over to the women's area. You know, if they were, let's say, a very mediocre men's swimmer and all of a sudden become the best swimmer in the whole universe as a woman, that they're going to say, OK, you can do that. We can't really stop you from doing it at this point. But what we can do is pull all your funding. So we will see if they if that actually goes through. There was a few Democrats that were on board for that. I want to say it was five. It wasn't a ton. But there were a few House Democrats who jumped on board for that one. I'm missing the number here, but it was a low number, but there was some bipartisanship involved in that particular bill. Also some bipartisanship in the TikTok ban. Now, the TikTok ban is set up for it's going to be Sunday is actually the day that the ban shutdown happens. I will say this is being overblown by quite a bit. This is, of course, TikTok, which I think is legitimately terrible. I mean, it is a terrible app in a million different ways. First of all, it takes your mind and it turns it into a special kind of green mush that no other app can do, I think, because it is just the most mindless nonsense. Now, that's not to say there's not some good creators on there. I think there are. My wife really likes the idea of like interior decorating tips, and she's like, I love it for that. Okay, I mean, I think you can get that from Pinterest or Reels or 100 different other places, but okay, I get it. You know, I mean, I'm not to say that there's no good creators over there, but this is a tool designed, you know, by and controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. They intentionally inject different elements of chaos into our country that they don't use in other countries. In fact, when you try to go on and get TikTok China, what you'll find is there isn't one. They don't allow TikTok in China because they know how terrible it will be. But they do have other sort of similar varieties. A lot of these creators are now switching over to those apps, which is funny because China controls them even more closely. And they're like kicking women off because their shirts are too low cut. Which, again, does social media exist without low cut shirts of women and their boobs half hanging out? Pretty sure the product doesn't even exist without that. But apparently in China, it does. It's funny because it's being overblown largely because most people's existence here isn't really going to change. The way the law is written is it just makes it so places like Apple and Google can't carry a TikTok or a similar app in their app stores. So if you are like today, today it's okay. On Monday, if you're like, you know what, I'm now on the TikTok bandwagon, I'm going to join up for the first time, you won't be able to download the app from the App Store. So no new people on TikTok, which sounds like a glorious future. Secondarily, you can't do an app update, so no new features on TikTok. Another thing that is, could be actually problematic down the line is if Apple updates their software in a way that it no longer works with TikTok. That could be a problem for people, but that's probably years away. If you remember the situation with the game Flappy Bird from a few years ago, long story short, became a very viral game. It was a very difficult game that, very basic looking, but very difficult. Became a thing for a while. Millions and millions of people. It was number one in the App Store, all that stuff. The guy who designed it said, gosh, I'm kind of ruining people, their attention span, and I don't like how much time they're spending on this game, so I'm going to delete it from the App Store. So if you deleted the app, you couldn't re-download it, but it was still on your phone, still worked. Also, if you're on TikTok, you could just go to the website, TikTok.com, and look at it. So the impact here, I think, is going to be pretty darn minimal. A lot of it has to do with creators and whether they can just go to Reels, which, by the way, is basically the same thing that they stole over at Facebook. You can just do it there. Although the compensation is a little bit different, and that's been the problem they've complained about. Anyway, long story short, it could be a little bit of a hassle, probably not that big of a deal at the end of the day, and not going to have the impact that I would like, which is to take the app and literally disintegrate any device it comes on. If you download it, if it's on your phone, it just explodes like you're in Hamas. That's what I would like myself, but probably not going to be the new policy of the United States. Sarah Gonzalez was on the show, I guess, last week and brought up an important story from Texas. The Texas House had this battle between this annoying moderate guy who was going with the Democrats and a conservative candidate that was favored by the Republicans. They broke a bunch of rules to make this happen, and unfortunately, it worked. Texas House elects a new speaker in blow to far right wing. The guy Burroughs actually won. The vote was 85 to 55, mostly Democrats, but a few Republicans got in there. As Sarah promised, they are going to go after every single one of them in primaries. So it should be quite the fireworks show over the next couple of years here in Texas. Although it is a place of racial harmony. As I've told you before, I am speaking to you from the nation's most diverse city. It's true, Irving, Texas, which is like almost exactly 25% of four major racial groups in the place that we broadcast from. Somehow we're okay with it, even as conservatives. It's amazing. Now, Texas is ranking number one in racial progress from a report. And it's not like all super woke stuff, although some of the people involved in it might be. It is a measurement basically based on a few different categories. Progress on employment, wealth, education, social and civic engagement, and health. And we combine all those together in the number one state in the union for racial progress, Texas. Okay, so here's what happened. Caitlin Clark. As you see here, this is what she looks like, in case you didn't know. She's, by the way, sponsored by Eli Lilly, makers of Mounjaro. I don't think she uses it, honestly. I think she gets a lot of exercise. Anyway, she had a stalker. This is a sad situation. A stalker who was going after her on Twitter/X. And he's like sitting there and they're like, okay, we think you were a stalker. And his answer was, guilty as charged. Yeah, guilty as charged. Man accused of stalking Caitlin Clark has a disruptive court hearing. Here is the guy, by the way, who looks almost identical to Mandy Patinkin. His name, however, is Michael Lewis Jr., or actually, I don't know if he's just Michael. Michael Lewis is an author. I don't think it was the author, hopefully. That would be very bad news. He said, throw me the bookie. I guess he has some mental health issues, apparently. Was harassing Caitlin Clark for a while, sending tons and tons of messages. He says what he really needs is his mental health medication, but he's going to stay in jail. He doesn't want bond. He doesn't want bail. He's just staying right there. Good.